We are talking about faithfulness today. There are four or five different introductions here that are appropriate. When I was a kid, I was fascinated by the fact that flammable and inflammable meant the same thing. But faithful and unfaithful mean incredibly different things. You go, okay. But it's amazing how those two words are so very far apart. Faithful, unfaithful. In a marriage, faithful, unfaithful. The care of children, faithful, unfaithful. Matters of faith, faithful and unfaithful. Amazing how far apart those two words are in describing behaviors. That's one angle. A lighter way is that the University Avenue Church of Christ has an unfaithful ban. This past week, it promised it could take the prime timers all the way to Round Rock and get them back. On the way back, shortly, about a quarter mile down the road, the serpentine fan belt that keeps everything functioning in the van came apart. And the van died into a place that could fix the van. And people stood out on the side of the road and went inside the building, and they called for someone to bring a van down and get them and take them back. And as the driver of the recovery van, I was able to listen to stories told by the passengers of all of the other places that they had gone through the years where the van had broken down. Remember when we went to the wildflowers, see the wildflowers, and the van broke down. And there were all these things, and the van. And so there was this litany of unfaithful behaviors on the part of the University Avenue bus. And I think the bus has a good heart, but basically has trouble fulfilling all of its commitments. I think it likes to go to a repair shop on the way back from wherever it goes. So there is that. There is that. And then there is this morning in Bible class, we studied the book of Hosea, where there is this call in prophetic language for the people of God to understand how unfaithful they are and how God's heart breaks as He wants them to come and be true to Him and to one another. And so some of us here this morning have already heard Hosea as the overture to the preaching about faithfulness. And then in our communion service this morning, I thought what Bill said was just exactly right. In Psalm 45, there's a passage that we should repeat, just so we can focus on the fact that faithfulness begins in God. In Psalm 145, the last part of verse 13, the psalmist says, "The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made." Say this with me. I'll say a phrase and then you repeat the phrase. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. This is the truth. This is the truth in which we live. That the Creator of all things has decided out of His own character to be a Creator God who binds Himself to be faithful. What would you do if you could do anything you wanted to do? Would you live above the law? If you were totally omnipotent, would you live above commitments and promises? People do this all the time. They sign contracts they don't intend to pay. They commit themselves to marriages they don't intend to be true to those vows in any particular way. The creature in us is drawn to various kinds of unfaithfulness, but that power which is most powerful in the universe, in total opposition to how we are as creature, the one who is most powerful and could act with total caprice is the God who binds Himself to the keeping of promises. That God defines Himself in terms of faithfulness. Faithful to Adam and Eve, faithful to Noah, faithful to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, faithful, faithful. Faithful to Hannah as she cries for a son. Faithful to Samuel as he weeps at the prospect of a king. Faithful to David on the fortnight after his sin. Faithful. Faithful in the coming of Jesus. Faithful in Jesus to the promises of a Messiah. Faithful to Jesus to go, take Him to a cross and into a grave and out into the morning of the resurrection. Faithful on the day of Pentecost. Today you see the fulfillment of what was written in the prophet Joel. Fulfilled. Faithfulness. God is faithful. 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 And He calls us to be faithful. I asked Miss Annette to read these two passages because in both of them there is this work done by an older Christian to promote faithfulness in a younger Christian. Barnabas, whose name is Joseph, who is from the island of Cyprus, who is called Barnabas because Barnabas means the son of encouragement. This man who's a Levite, a priest, who becomes a Christian and is given to encouragement, believes that the trajectory of his life is in encouraging and rehabilitating those around him as they walk with God. That's his call. He's in partnership with this other kind of a guy, this Pharisee kind of a guy who's become a Christian, who is very linear and is very work-oriented, very, very accomplishment-directed. And so when the second missionary journey comes by, Paul is saying, let's go and do this work. And Barnabas is saying, let's go do this work, but in the process, let's rehabilitate Mark. And they don't agree on that. I don't know. Christians always agree on everything, don't they? They don't agree. But in this, Barnabas takes Mark home to Cyprus. And Mark learns faithfulness. Mark was unfaithful on the first missionary journey. When they landed on the southern coast of what is now Turkey, Mark went home. He left. The same kid that had run out of the garden ran away from the southern coast of Turkey. And Barnabas takes him home. And what Barnabas does turns Mark into the kind of man who, at the end of 2 Timothy, Paul regards as a faithful servant. And at the end of the writings of Peter, Peter regards Mark as a faithful servant. Mark was unfaithful. And Barnabas was faithful to God and to Him in training him for the long journey. Timothy, 2 Timothy starts off with Paul saying, Timothy, you need to fan into flame the gift that was given to you by the laying on of my hands. For the Lord has given us not a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Timothy, fire it up. Get going. I don't know why you're off on the roadside park. I don't know why you're in the rest area, but that gift I gave you by the laying on of my hands did not lead you to being this little shy, retiring boy from Lystra. We've got to get going, man. Ephesus is right there. Let's go. And then you read the words that Annette read. It's time to preach the word. It's time to get busy. It's time to be ready to keep your head in every situation, which is kind of funny since Paul is about to lose his, but it's Paul's right to make that joke if he wants to. And then Paul says to Timothy, who has been encouraged to wake up and blaze again, who has been encouraged to be filled with power and love and self-discipline, that he's encouraged, as Paul says, my race is run, my trophy, my wreath, my reward is sure. Come with me. Walk this path. The faithful calling others to be faithful. You see it in the Scriptures. And so we are here today under the umbrella of the faithfulness of God, calling one another to be faithful. By encouragement, by exhortation, by example. In our life, we are tempted always, always tempted to have a short attention span and a short timeline and a short horizon and to think of promises that we've made and the way that we could keep them in some minor and insignificant and incomplete way and let those promises pass on and live our life in terms of short-term episodes like a cheap sitcom that suddenly is canceled after four seasons and you never really know what happens to those characters. That's the way we think of our life, that somehow we're just living episodically, just episode by episode. And not seeing that we are living our lives into the great future of God. When somebody comes and wants to get married, one of the things I like to tell them is, you're going to get married, but I want you to do this now. I want you to think about how your 50th wedding anniversary picture is going to look. I want you to think about how it's going to look. I want you to think about your being in that picture and your wife, your husband being in that picture and your kids are in that picture, but they're old now. They're in their 40s perhaps. They're 30 or 40 years old, your kids, and beside them are other children that are your grandchildren and those are the ones you like and you like them and they like you. And think of that picture as it's being made, y'all all gathering together and people are saying things to each other and little jokes, little inside jokes that have been manufactured over the years and the grandkids are calling you Pop or Grandpa or Big Daddy or whatever you're going to be called. But there's that picture and don't you want now at the beginning of your life together when your promises are about to be made to see yourself living faithfully into that picture? There's ups and downs and places that your cart just turns over and there's great trials and great sicknesses and great sadnesses and great triumphs and great happinesses, but you want to live into that picture. There's stories that you can say like that. But it's also true that you hear Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, where in the writing, Jesus tells John, tell them, be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death and I will bless you. Be faithful unto death. You'll be my people. Be faithful unto death. And the word that comes to us is be faithful unto death. Wait a minute. I like this idea about getting married and you're getting married and you're being faithful unto a party. The 50th celebration. I want to be faithful unto the party. But now in the Revelation, there are martyrs and there are people who are struggling and they're, it's not fun to be a Christian. It can be difficult. And he says, I want you to think your way all the way through. This is not just pie in the sky by and by, just all you're thinking is about heaven. But I want you to think that you're going to be living your life from where you are all the way into the presence of God. I want you to think that that's where the picture is going to be made. It's not just a party at your retirement. It's not just a party at the graduation of your children. It's not just a party celebrating some decade of your marriages. You're living faithfully all the way into the lap of God. Into the henceforth there is laid up for me part of your life. Into the henceforth. And as you live into the henceforth of God, you believe that you live into that because Jesus is raised from the dead. It is the resurrection of Jesus. The faithfulness of God lets you have that kind of long view of your life. And so your faithfulness is couched in the empty tomb, but it takes you into your life and into the struggles you have with your sin and the way the Holy Spirit is going to reach into your life and bear fruit and put to death the deeds of the flesh, and is going to join you together with other Christians and help you to have great moments in the Word of God, in your private devotion, and great moments of joint worship. And you're going to go from hilltop to valley, from the middle of the road to the bar ditch in your life. And you are going to be relentlessly focused on living into the be faithful even unto death. And so you think about it, and it's hard. It's hard. Because I don't like the unto death part of this. I always thought it'd be really good to get sick and have a long lingering illness and then get well. This idea that at some point your life ends. I like this life. I like this pulse. I like being able to get close to a mirror and fogging it with my breath. I like this life. I like the notion of being organically alive. It's what I know. But Barnabas told Mark, and Paul told Timothy, and John tells us, live like there's tomorrow. Not like there's no tomorrow, but live like there's always purpose, always significance, always importance, always God in our life. That the promises that God has made to us make us a people who fulfill our vows, who keep our promises, who keep our focus, and we are faithful in all kinds of little things. We're faithful in our commitments to our debts. We're faithful in our commitments to our children. We're faithful to our commitments in our marriage. We're faithful in our commitments to our church. We are faithful in our commitments to the lost. We are faithful to our commitments to God in every way we can be. Because God is faithful, we are faithful. And we are not faithful just for today, but we are committed to being faithful all our life long. None of us lives our life in a straight line. None of us are always as strong as Barnabas or as strong as Paul. Some of us are remarkably like Mark, remarkably like Timothy. And so we become a fellowship of the faithful, encouraging us, each other, to be faithful. We're not strong, isolated, faithful ones. We're a strong body of people helping each other be faithful together. So in the moments that we are alone, we're faithful. But we draw our strength from one another. We encourage one another in faithfulness. We are the fellowship of Barnabas. The fellowship of encouragement. We are the fellowship of Paul, who know the gift, and know the gifts can burn low, and know what it is to be timid, and know what it is to suddenly turn to power and love and self-discipline, who know how to make this journey in faithfulness. When Daniel said that what is really needed are churches that are able to live devoted lives in a transparent way, yes? He is asking that the world could receive the testimony of lived out faithfulness. And that when the world sees the body of Christ living in the world faithfully, transparently, then the gospel, the good news, becomes good news. So, what is the great new idea for us being a great church? How about faithfulness? The very attribute that makes love, love indeed. Faithfulness. The very attribute that makes joy, joy without end. Faithfulness. The very thing that makes peace run deep to our heart's core. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Let us remember the faithfulness of God. Let's stand and sing together.